Today on the show, I'm talking with Yogi Brian about meditation, yoga, and the art of releasing fucks. This is a fun and joyous conversation, which is the way I feel life should be lived. I really hope you enjoy it. We'll see you on the other side.
All right, welcome back to our show. Today, I am super excited to talk with this dude. I've been following Yogi Brian for a little while on Instagram. Very excited about his approach to meditation, spirituality, and yoga. So Yogi Brian, in case you haven't heard of him, he is a meditation guide, certified hypnotherapist, certified hypnotist, a neuro-linguist programmer, and a yoga instructor. And the reason I love Brian and what he's doing is his goal is to help the world release 10 billion fucks. Mm-hmm. And man, that is what's up, dude. Welcome to the show, man. I'm so excited to talk to you, brother.
Thank you so much, Adam, for having me on. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here.
Hell yeah.
So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, man. So Brian's got, as well as he's got TikTok, he's got Instagram, he's got a lot of media that he does. But two of the things that I love about what he does are the meditation podcasts that you do. So you got two podcasts. One is very kind of conventional and approachable by, you know, people that are in the traditional spiritual community called Relax with Yogi Brian. And the one that I love, and that's great. I love your Relax with Yogi Brian. There's a lot of great meditations there. But what really, really drew me to you is it's just fucking meditation with Yogi Brian. And man, because it is, it's just fucking meditation. You know, there's the gentleman that taught me how to meditate, Tang, beautiful human being, is a devout Buddhist monk. And so my approach to meditation for the longest time was you sit stoically. You listen to your breath, you sit upright, you know, and you listen to spirit. And, you know, that got a lot for me. And it was, you know, checking some boxes, but it didn't really resonate with me as deep as the humorous approach that you have to it. Because, you know, a lot of times, like, my life was very whimsical before I started spiritual practice. And I know that the path through spirituality, like, kind of brings us back to that whimsicalness. But there's like this stoicness that hits us in the beginning that we just kind of like feel like we have to follow the path of something else. That was this big stoic, you know, neutral bodied, I'm not going to get upset, everything's fucking cool kind of thing. But man, humanity is kind of crazy and it doesn't always approach us that way.
Right.
Yeah. So how did you get to this point to where one, you started meditating, but two, got to the idea of like taking it so lightly?
Yeah. I mean, it was really, you know, part of it, an accident, and then other part of it, doing it to help myself. You know, I struggle with addictions, anxiety, depression, and I've been like that pretty much my whole life. Like growing up through adolescence, something just wasn't right in my mind. You know, maybe it was just how I was raised, or I don't know. I just felt very lonely. Mm. And I was very shy. I still am pretty shy and an introverted person. And just going and trying to figure out, I've been through like a fuck ton of therapy, still seeing a therapist, mm-hmm. You know, I've tried so many different things, and yoga actually was an accident. I created an Instagram back in 2016 to make fun of yoga.
Okay.
Because I thought it was too serious, and it was on, you know, Instagram, seeing Instagram yogis.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine, or is a friend of a friend, posted yoga pictures for a yoga challenge on her Instagram. And she was doing yoga poses on her kitchen table, on her bed, all over the place.
Yeah.
And I thought it was ridiculous. I'm like, why are these people doing this shit? And I figured I could make fun of yoga. So I started making fun of yoga. The Instagram account started to grow. And I figured I should learn more about yoga. I should go to a studio and practice so I can make fun of it more.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I just wanted to go and learn so I can make fun of the poses and asanas. And I ended up loving yoga. It started to help my anxiety and anger. I was going through divorce at the time. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me. And then it was just like an accident. I signed up for yoga teacher training. They threw me in the mix to teach yoga, and everything fell into place that way.
Yeah.
And that was more the physical asana. And then I challenged myself to meditate, just a 90-day meditation challenge myself. And I hated meditation for 77 days of that 90 days. Like I had no, I just committed to 90 days. And I'm like, I'm just going to do it. After 90 days, I'll quit if it's not working for me. And something just clicked on day 77 where I knew I was going to meditate for the rest of my life. And I've been pretty much meditating every day since then. And that was 2019.
Wow.
So almost, 3 years of just every single day meditating. And
dude,
you know, that led me to where I'm at now. I had the meditation podcast, which is the Rated G, mm-hmm. and it's just fucking meditation podcast. Because what I've noticed is, you know, if I just sit and meditate, sometimes it can make my shit in my head worse.
Yeah.
You know, if I just go silent in my head, I'm just stuck with my fucking thoughts in my head and I can just snowball and spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I got into hypnosis. I learned hypnosis for myself to kind of fix my own shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, wow, this is hypnosis is pretty much like guided meditation. Yoga Nidra is hypnosis. You know, it's just sometimes people get caught up with hypnosis, just how Hollywood portrays hypnosis and it kind of is negative about it. But really the fundamentals of hypnosis is all guided meditation and Yoga Nidra.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what we call it. Our neurology reacts the same way.
Yeah.
You know, so no matter what we call it, our neurology reacts the same way. So yeah, that's why I wanted to, it's pretty much a joke to start. It's just fucking meditation. And then it just caught on. I love doing those meditations. That gets me out of my own way too.
And I can hear it in your voice when you're recording, when I'm listening to them. Like I can hear the joy as you're saying it of like, oh man, this is going to land exactly the way it needs to fucking land, you know?
Thanks.
So have you seen the movie Good Guys? Older movie with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg?
A long time ago.
Right. All right. So there's a Mark Wahlberg's character. The reason I bring this up, Mark Wahlberg's character learns how to dance ballet to make fun of the other kids in his like that were dancing ballet so he could learn about it so he could make fun of it in a deeper way. So when you're telling me that about yoga, it's like, holy shit, man, that resonates a lot with me. You know, just like I want to really learn the nuances of how to mock this. And so I'm going to learn it. And then all of a sudden it's like, shit, now I'm appreciating what I'm doing now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It really is. And, you know, I like to make fun of yoga because, you know, I grew up, my family kind of pushed me into Christianity and I did all that stuff and got into it. And it helped me at the time. And then as I learned more and more about it, took world religions in college and took a Christianity class in college. And I don't want to get like too into religion that way, but I just realized like, whoa, a lot of the stories are the same in different religions.
Right.
And, you know, I can get addicted to things and especially like religion or spirituality. I can get really addicted and competitive with it. And then that's what really came to me is like, it's just fucking yoga, Brian. Like, it's just fucking yoga. Like, you don't have to get so into it. You don't have to compete with other people. Like, your Instagram doesn't have to be perfect. And also with meditation, you know, I can get like extreme with meditation. I want to be perfect and meditate, you know, consecutive days and have the best meditation practice better than anybody else. And it's like, no, it's just fucking meditation, Brian. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, relax.
Right.
There's no competition here.
Yeah. When I first started meditating, I maybe about a year into it, I went to a Vipassana meditation retreat, a 10-day silent meditation. And man, it did a lot for me. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I got a lot out of it. I unpacked a lot of shit. But, you know, but it really does make you dive. Like, it really, if you're not understanding on how to deal with the stuff that's coming up in your head, like you were saying earlier, like if you have some kind of therapeutic dialogue background where you've been in therapy or you have somebody to help you with that, that stuff can just ruminate in your head and just start spinning those wheels. And it's hard to get out of that cycle too. So if you don't have the proper coach to really get you out of that space, sometimes meditation can be a little more damaging than that potential, like solving a problem that you thought you might've, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, having that light approach, man, you know, having just different options, you know, and I think that's the thing. It doesn't have to be one way. There's not a package for spirituality. You know, there's an openness to it. And so to see somebody approach the comical side of it, that whimsical side, you know, one of the podcasts that I love listening to is Aubrey Marcus. And he says, one of the quotes he likes to say is, you can tell the spiritual master by the sign of their laughter. You know, and I think that's 100%, you know, we, when we get to that point to where everything is awe inspiring and everything's like, oh shit, look at that color of that thing over there. You know, it's a damn blue duck. That's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Like everything just becomes so whimsical and childlike, and it just, everything brings joy to your life again. And there's no, there, you can kind of release some of that, that overarching stoicness that, that just kind of seems like it's part of humanity now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like in playfulness, that's when we can make the biggest change because we're relaxed and we can allow our conscious mind to let go. And then we can make that change in our subconscious mind just by relaxing, smiling, dropping an F-bomb or two.
Yes.
You know, one of my teachers, David Snyder, I love him. He's helped me out so much. He's my hypnosis teacher, NLP teacher. You know, a lot of his trainings are very, you know, he throws some jokes in there and cusses. And it's like, you know, when I drop an F-bomb and I say fuck, like our conscious mind just kind of stops and was like, whoa, and then we can get the change in the subconscious mind. So it's really science behind the It's Just Fucking Meditation podcast to really get deep, laugh a little bit, take your guard down, have some visualizations, and then, yeah, make that change in your unconscious mind.
Yeah, man. So were you doing comedy before you started doing meditation and yoga stuff?
I've been the class clown since I could remember. I used to get in trouble all the time for, you know, not sitting still and talking in class and trying to make people laugh in class. So It's always just been something that I have to have a creative outlet. And just recently, last year, I started stand-up comedy and I started taking improv classes.
All right.
Because my teacher told me that improv is a good way to change your emotional state. You know, just because as a meditation guide or a yoga teacher, or just whenever you want influence on positive influence on the room, you have to have like the strongest state and the strongest energy. So improv really helped me actually listen and kind of read body language and stay in the present moment.
Yeah. I've got a buddy that actually started a program up in the Washington area called Improv for Wellness, where he uses the improv techniques to help people find wellness techniques as well. You know, and so it just kind of, again, takes people out of their comfort zone, that staged, you know, kind of like, okay, if I do this, I expect that. Take that out with improv and you just kind of open yourself up to that idea. And there's been such a good response from that program that he's developed that, you know, again, just like what you're doing, you know, it's just a different look at it. Like, how do we take this other modality that we have, you know, this fun, whimsical cursing modality, and how do we apply it to something that's like, you know, this kind of structured stoic kind of thing, you know? And it's so beautiful when those mergings of those different things like come together and start to find their own homes, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. When did, so with your meditation, what type did you start with? You know, was there like a style that you're like, all right, I'll start with this and see where that goes? Or did you kind of just sit down and say, I'm just going to sit down and listen to my breath and see what happens?
Yeah, I really started. I dabbled with Kundalini yoga back in 2012. And I felt the change, you know, with the chanting and just the sitting still. But I had to do something with my body. So it was nice with Kundalini yoga. You're moving your body, doing mudras and then chanting. Mm-hmm. So that helped. And that gave me like the seed. And then when I started my personal meditation challenge, I tried all different types of meditations. I started on Insight Timer. And I just went through the different meditations, manifestation meditations. During my yoga teacher training, I did a new moon manifestation meditation, and that like rocked me into the cosmos. Like I was changed after that. So I tried a lot of different meditations. And what I found, and I still do this to this day, is I listen to binaural beats, 528 hertz. It's a love frequency. I throw in some headphones, listen to that, focus on my breath for a little bit, just without controlling it, come back to my breath. And then I do a breathing technique, which it syncs with my pulse. I just get my whole body energy good, and then I just start manifesting. So that's been my morning meditation. I really love creative visualizations and hypnosis type of meditations.
Yeah.
So walking meditations. But yeah, I really just dabbled in all different types when I first started and just see what resonates with me. It still changes.
I feel that. There's some times where I just, you know, a Vipassana style meditation where it's like a body scan. Okay, that does me. Sometimes like in my afternoon meditations, that's where I utilize your podcast, is those like, you know, 5 to 10 minute meditations in the afternoon, just that reset. Like I was telling before we hit record, I did your relax that ass meditation. And I just, you know, it was so funny because it, you know, in preparing for stuff like this, you know, I'm always taking notes, I'm doing research on you. And so like when I'm sitting in your meditations, I'm trying my hardest not to take notes and just to be in that meditation. But when you said, relax your asshole chakra, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, I got to write that down. I got to fucking write that down. That just threw me so bad. And it was in a beautiful way. You know, it's like, I'm sitting there trying to, you know, you're talking about up and down your spine. You're talking about the shoulders relaxing, and you're just like, oh, that asshole chakra. And I'm like, God, yeah, damn, that asshole chakra.
Yeah.
It's perfect, man. So with, I love that you're journeying through your meditations, to trying the different styles. Your accreditations are amazing. What drew you towards hypnosis and NLP? Like, where did those kind of changes come in?
Yeah, I really liked Yoga Nidra, and I found David Snyder on YouTube, just manifestations and hypnosis. Oh, it really started Michael Seeley. He's on YouTube, and he does sleep hypnosis.
Okay.
And it really started with that. I was on my meditation journey. I think it was maybe 100 days in every single day. And I was like, I want to try and sleep better. Let me figure out sleep hypnosis. And it just put me to sleep so quick. And I was just visualizing things, and I was trying to fight it too. I'm like, this is not going to work. And I was gone.
Yeah.
Within 5-10 minutes waking up, like, what the hell happened? So that got me into hypnosis. I started doing more of those types of meditations, you know, to kind of reprogram my subconscious mind. My friend DJ Taz Rashid, we had him on the Yogi Show podcast, and he said he used to listen to subconscious reprogramming tapes.
Okay.
And he went from working a corporate job to being a wanderlust DJ and just doing his music career and traveling. So I found some subconscious reprogramming YouTubes, and I still listen to them to this day, pretty much every single night. I started doing one on abundance, and it completely transformed my mind with like money and abundance and just living free, where like I don't even have that emotional or mental block anymore because I listen to it every single day, and just opportunities came, ideas came to me. The podcast ideas came to me for the meditations. I was invited to be on some different apps. So all these opportunities came once I started to listen to subconscious reprogramming audios at night. When I sleep, I still listen to them. And then I really wanted to do this. I found a teacher. You know, they say like when you're ready, the teacher appears.
Always, yep.
The teacher appeared. I took his online courses, watched all his YouTubes. And then last year I went to 4 of his trainings in person. And I didn't know how that would affect me personally, but it completely, like, it was just another transformation on my part, unlocking more doors, having more awareness. And that's what got me into hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming. Now I still read books. I study it. I'm taking a conversational hypnotherapy course right now, which is insane.
Wow.
To learn all that. So, and it's a lot of, you know, NLP is a lot of like body language too.
Okay.
You know, like getting your state, getting your body language, you know, imagining you're a celebrity, or imagining you're the master commander, imagining you're like have an open heart. So it's just a lot of like starting with yourself and being able to affect, you know, kind of the world around you. So
that's, I love that. There was a, I can't remember his name right now, but he was an ex-Navy SEAL that wrote Extreme Ownership. So it's a leadership book. Yeah, great book. And he was talking about how you can, you know, in the Navy SEALs, they talk about electing your team captain up, right? That you can't always be on, right? If you're always ready and prepared, you're going to exhaust yourself, right? So, you know, they're talking about like on their way to these missions, these covert missions, they're like all the intense stuff that's about to happen. People are sleeping, they're playing Sudoku, they're doing all this stuff to like keep them relaxed, but still alert. But as soon as they're ready, they elect that team captain, and that team captain comes up and is like, all right, dude, let's fucking go. All the muscles are moving, all the joints are working. We're doing this shit now. And we all have that ability for that team captain to be elected to pop up. And we just got to get used to calling that person up. Like we have the warrior, the lover, the magician, like all those archetypes, you know, if you want to say the warrior is that team captain, like all those are within us. We just got to learn how to elect that person and say, hey, now you're driving the ship for a little bit. Everybody else is going to still pay attention, but this one is the one that's driving.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, man.
You know, that's like our emotional state, you know, whoever's listening right now, you know, whatever emotional state you're in right now, well, you have a body language and a type of breathing that corresponds to your emotional states. You want to change your emotional state, you change your body first. Mm. Like it's very hard, and I define this out the hard way, but it's very hard to get to think, to outthink your mind out of a different emotional state. Say you're depressed. Mm. Okay, like I'm going to outthink it. But if you just roll your shoulders back, stand tall, and breathe like you're confident, your mind will follow. So, and it seems just so easy. It seems so easy, and it is.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yep. So it's just like inviting archetypes. A smile into your face, you know? So all of a sudden, like you curl the lips up and you're like, oh God, all right, I'm smiling now. Yeah. Yep. We can trick ourselves into that. There's a guy, I read a book a while back named, Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It by Kamal Ravikant. And he talks about like a lot about that, where he was in a depressed state and he started, identifying this mantra, and he'd use this mantra where he'd say, inhale, I love myself. Exhale, thank you. You know, and a lot of times he didn't believe it. You know, I don't believe that I love myself, but he still did it over and over again. And eventually it's like, hey man, I do love myself, and I'm feeling that love that I have for myself. And that thank you, that reassurance that I understand that I love myself, it landed in such a beautiful way. So like, you know, we can have that. I don't believe it. I don't understand it. I don't think it's going to happen, but we're still going to do it. And eventually that stuff lands.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just reprogramming the mind. Yeah. Eventually it lands. Mm-hmm. Eventually it lands. And I'm actually taking some steps back from some of my practices. I really got into morning pages.
Okay.
Morning pages. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard it. Is it journaling in the morning?
Yeah, it's journaling. It's like first thing you do when you wake up is 3 pages freehand, just all your thoughts, whatever you feel, even if you feel like you want to murder someone or just whatever that comes out.
Yeah.
Like you just write it down on the paper. You don't really read it afterwards. You can burn it or throw it away. It's just for you to get your cloud thoughts out of there. You know, and I got really into it. I got really into journaling, and then I realized like I'm just journaling a lot of like negative shit all the time.
Okay.
You know, it's like no wonder I'm not feeling that great compared to getting back to my gratitude list every morning. Like, okay, I'm going to write a gratitude list, or I'm just going to get back into the positivity. So I have to be careful with that sometimes. It's like, okay, there's always some shit to heal within ourselves. There's always shit to find and some negative stuff or emotions to get out that might not be good emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But there's times where you're just like, okay, let me find the gratitude here. Let me be super positive here and kind of fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my biggest things that I coach my clients with is sometimes we're oblivious to the work that we've done and how far we've traveled in our path, because we're just in it. We're in the trenches, we're doing the work, and it's fucking hard. And nobody knows how hard you're working but you, because you're the one that's unraveling the demons and pulling on those threads and pulling that shit out. So when you get those moments of clarity to where you understand like you were at point A and you're now at point B, and that's a good fucking step. Like take that time, take a deep breath, congratulate yourself, pat yourself on the back. Like you don't know, like nobody will understand the work that you've done except for you. And you know, that word healed, like the ED at the end of the word heal. Like it's so hard to think about that word, you know, about like my humanity is now healed, right? Like you said, there's always something for us to work on. And so take that time when you can, take those free mm-hmm. breaths, take that understanding of like, all right, I'm not going to start anything new today. I'm just going to live within this practice that I have. You know, there's so many opportunities for us to continue to add on. Like there's a new tarot deck, there's a new oracle deck, there's a new spiritual thing that somebody just invented, or some like human design. Like good God, like that took me so long to understand human design. But you know, we have all these things we can add on, but is it really serving your purpose, or is it just another tool to distract you from the actual practice that you're working through?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, yeah, it's good to feel it, you know, to heal it.
Uh-huh.
But then it's like, okay, where do I want to go? Or where do you want to go next? Like, yeah. What adventure do you want to go next? Instead of, you know, healing all this shit from the past. It's like, yeah, there's a never ending supply of stuff that you need to heal. Like, okay, how about let's move forward now? Let's, what do we want now? Like, what goals do we want ahead?
Right.
You know, what life do we want to create now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I first started my my meditation and spiritual journey, I was pretty much on my own, but read a bunch of books, podcasts, you know, just listening to stuff. And I thought I was doing great with that. But it wasn't until I found an actual teacher that I realized how important that teacher is, because like as the individual, we can just ingest books and information, just go from one thing to the next thing, but not really have the opportunity to let it land. But you still think like you're doing a lot of work because you're still, you're checking boxes. But with the teacher is that person that understands like, okay, I'm going to give you this information and then see how it lands with you and then decide if I give you more. But it lets you, mm-hmm. that teacher is so important to give you that boundary to say, no, let's just live in this realm for a little bit, ingest this information, really understand this. There's all this stuff you can learn, but learn this first and then we'll move on. Because I was ravenous with books, just read, let it go, Eckhart Tolle, all these things, you know, just reading and putting aside. Things were landing, but not in the depth of the way that once I found a teacher and they took that time and really, really dug into me, it's like, okay, I understand where we're at now. And I was able to get rid of a lot of the rituals that I thought were working for me, but they were just things that to fill the space to make it feel like I was doing something productive.
Yeah, that makes, that's good insight.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Because I can relate. You know, there's so much content. There's so many things you can learn, YouTube videos, books, and all this information is just at our tips of our hands now. And it's like, you know, I got caught up with that too. It's like, I'm doing some learning so much. I want all the knowledge. It's like, okay, but like what actions am I taking with any of this stuff? It's mm-hmm. like, okay, I know all this shit in my head, but am I actually doing it? You know, cause you know, making one change like a month is hard. You know, just one
right.
thing to work on instead of like, oh, I'm doing this and this and this, you know? So I definitely relate to you.
Well, you said something that really sparked my interest just now a bit ago, and it was conversational hypnosis. And is that just, so that's a new term to me. So is that like active conversation where you're talking with somebody and like guiding through hypnosis, or is it just like,
can yeah, you so it's that a basically looking for the cues and the voice tones and facial expressions. And all it is just having a conversation. So I don't put anyone into trance. It's not like, hey, we're going to go into trance right now. Just basically like, hey, what is the problem? How can I help you out? And then the client would say, you know, this is the problem. And then it's just by asking questions. It's just asking questions, not why questions. You take the why questions out, because the why questions are basically, they can make very quick answers to why, like a yes or no, or this is it. It's basically like, well, mm-hmm. why is that important to you? You know, and I'm figuring out like the really good gurus or teachers, they just ask you very good questions.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, with questions, wow. That's how we communicate with our unconscious mind, is by questions, you know, asking ourselves bigger questions. You know, why is this really important to me? Why do I do it this way? Why do I take this route to work every single day? Is there a different route I can take? And then you might find a different route that might be faster, or, you know, maybe you take the bus. So with conversational hypnosis, it's really just having the client solve the problem theirself, you know, because when I do, and I do work with clients in terms of like hypnotherapy and hypnosis, like energy healing and coaching, mm-hmm. it's really, you know, when you like tell someone like how to solve their problem, and then it's just being pushed away. Like, oh, I've tried that. Whereas like conversational hypnosis, in our subconscious mind, we have an entire life experience. We've seen things that the other person hasn't seen. We have all the resources to solve our problems. who am I to know how to solve your problem or what your problem even is? Because at a conscious level, when someone tells me their problem, that's just the conscious reasoning of their problem. They might not even, they're most of it's bullshit and they don't even know what the problem is unconsciously. So it's just finding those questions and then noticing the unconscious behavior, the unconscious, like laughter, maybe you cry a little bit, or maybe you look up to the right, because it's not a conscious reaction. It's unconscious. People start to think, and it's like, okay, well, that's the feeling. How do you feel there? What are you feeling? Is it in your stomach? Why do you feel that feeling there? Or what do you think it is? So really it's just shutting the fuck up and asking good questions and allowing the other person to share it.
Yeah. It's almost like just a, you know, it's a responsible conversation, you know, where you're actually in tune with the human across from you. You're paying attention to them. You're giving them your full attention and you're not trying to think about what you're about to say next, you know, and by that attention that you're paying to them, you can see those social cues like you're talking about. Like if they're sad, they're looking down to the left, or if they're nervous, they're fidgeting with their hands or something, you know, and that's, you know, if we could all find a way to be that present in a conversation, there would be so much less misunderstanding in the world. You know, we could just be that present and see the emotion of the human being and let them finish their full statement, let them have their time, and then like hold that space for a conversation back by paying attention to them the entire time. Like there's so much good information that can come in with that. Is there a, like how long is a course for that? Is that something you're actively still learning, or is that, you know, like a course that you took?
That's a course that's in process. It's his name's Scott Jansen. He's from New Zealand or Australia, and he does these, he does live courses, but then I've been watching his replays of previous courses, and then I'm going to be doing his live course in April. And hopefully I can be one of the subjects and therapists doing it as well, or hypnotherapists doing it as well. And there's a group where you can practice, because there's a lot of practice in, you know, one thing I'm learning is to just listen and be present and ask questions. And that unlocks so much power with it. It's amazing. You don't have to say that much. You just ask someone the right questions and listen and watch their verbal cues and their body language. And it's so powerful. It's so and they're doing all the healing, but they're looking at you thinking you're a genius. And it's like the most laziest way to help somebody else out, because they're figuring out their own problem, you know, cause I don't like when someone gives me advice and it's like, oh, I tried that. You know, what do you think? I'm stupid. Like I've been trying all this stuff and I don't even know what my problem is. And that's why, like how you said, like, it's good to have a teacher, you know, a teacher can show you, bring awareness to what you weren't even aware about.
Just that reframing sometimes, like I'm going to tell you exactly what you just told me. And then when you hear it, it's like, God, is that what I just said? I'm like, fuck, man. And so how did you get to the point of understanding? Like, where did you get to the release your fucks idea? Was it part of the whimsicalness of the meditation that you found? Or was that like a goal that you wanted to reach with the comedy? Cause you said you're kind of like class clown in general. So you seem like you're a comedic kind of guy and overall. So was that just like do you see like that as a natural progression for you to release those fucks?
Yeah. I just, I still see how serious meditation is, and I see how competitive yoga can be. And, I just really like want to help the world release 10 billion fucks, no matter how that goes with other people. You know, some people call me, some people say I'm not a real yogi, or I shouldn't call myself a yogi, or like they can't believe I'm saying this compared to the yamas and niyamas. But, you know, my thing is like all about intention. It's like, I'm putting this energy out there to like heal people and myself as well. Like when I make one of those, I could be in like such a shitty mood, and then I'm just like, I'm going to have fun with this. And I feel so much better after like making a relax that ass meditation. And I'm like, that's what I fucking need. All my stuff. I do it for me because that's what I need. And I wish someone made something like that so I can listen to and just like get, you know, relief for like 10 minutes or for the day, you know, because what I noticed is just, there's a lot of people out here acting like they're okay. I do it. Sometimes we put on our mask, and we act like we're fine, but deep down inside, we're not fine. And we're like very sad or depressed, and no one else might not even know. But if I can make a meditation to relax that ass and I can get straight to that sadness that they feel, that's really what I go for. Like I don't really do it for money. I just go for that. I go for like, you know, if I get a message saying like, hey, that really helped me like get through my divorce. So that really helped me get through this. Like, that's why I do it.
What, can you, explain what a fuck is to release?
Yeah, it's just like any feeling that you want to release, you know, it's like maybe it's fucked up energy, it's a relationship, or it's like heaviness around your heart or your throat. Maybe you don't know where the feeling's coming from, and it's just that like release. Maybe you need to cry it out or shit it out or sweat it out or breathe it out, but it's just that energy that you don't want anymore, that you've been holding on to for so long. And maybe you don't know why you're holding on to it. You know, when you go on social media or you go on the internet, it's just like an unlimited pile of shit to make you feel inadequate or compare you to somebody else. Like, there's just so much stuff, so much content that it's like clickbait all the time. It's like the news needs something else for you to get your attention. And, all those fucks just need to be released. So that's what I am here to do. So that's a fuck. Like anything that doesn't feel good.
Like a care of an emotion, just care all those fucks.
Emotion, just fuck you know, whatever you're holding on to, like feel it. You know, you gotta feel it to heal it. You gotta feel it, you know, and that's something that I'm still doing myself. It's like, you gotta feel the pain. You got to go the fastest way through the pain is to feel it and go straight through it.
Yep.
And that's what releasing fucks
up. One of my favorite lines from the Tao is deal with the difficult while it's still easy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get that shit out of there before it clings on, man, because the deeper it goes, the harder it's going to be to get out, you know. Hell yeah. So do you take that same mentality into your yoga teaching practice? Have you found a studio that embraces you as that awesome person that you are, that allows you to, you know, be that, you know, release the fucks kind of guy in your yoga class, or is it something a little bit different in your
teaching? Yeah, I do styles? It all myself now. I realize that I just do yoga classes online, or I do YouTube videos, or I do my podcasts, and I am going to be doing events, like going to different yoga studios in the summer. And I vibe with those yoga studios, but I don't have a set yoga studio that I teach at, just because I want to be more free with what I can say.
Yeah.
You know, because I have a RBF relief pose that I do in like all my yoga classes, resting bitch face or resting dick face relief out of your face. And sometimes that doesn't go well, even when I go to the events. Like, I've had a couple people, you know, walk out on me and then complain that this isn't, you know, real yoga. And it's like, you know, I get it. You know, some people aren't going to resonate with me.
Yep. Nope. I feel you, man. My friend of mine and I, we did a promotion a while back called Mofo Yoga. It was motherfucking yoga. And the idea was to try to bring yoga to different genres of people that don't typically do it. And so the first step was CrossFit gyms, right? So we'd go to CrossFit gyms, and part of Mofo Yoga was linking drinking with yoga, right? And so we're trying to like find poses, like you chair pose, right? So you get in a chair pose, you get down really deep, you pick up your beer and you drink it and put it back down, you come back up, you do a back bend and you chaturanga, you know, like things like that. So we were trying to make it, and it was a lot of fun, but you know, to your point, like we offended a lot of people with that, you know, playing death metal music, playing like Metallica and Pantera, which is great, you know, for the people it landed with, it was beautiful. But there were a couple people that were like, tequila in a yoga class, you can get fucked. That's not yoga to me. I'm like, that's cool. We're at a CrossFit gym. Go find a yoga studio that's more accommodating to that. But like, I love the idea of bringing different opportunities for this. You know, it doesn't have to be this packaged box. Like, here's your yoga. This is do this. This is your practice. It's like, no, man, get playful with your practice.
Yeah.
100%. It's all you. You do whatever the hell you want with
100%.
It. 100%. So with the, What style of yoga are you teaching on your online courses and things
like that? I do like vinyasa type, but I mainly
Okay.
I mainly just been focusing on meditation, hypnosis. And if I do yoga, it's more of like a yin relaxation type yoga where we sit in the poses longer. I've been adding more on YouTube where it's just, you know, 20, 30 minutes. We just move our body a little bit. You know, that's the one thing too, is it doesn't matter what you call it. You can call it yoga. You can call it stretching. You can call it moving your body. Like, your body's going to react. Your neurology is going to react to it. And that's the, I just think it's funny to me when people get caught up like, oh, that's not yoga. You're not like a yogi. Well, it doesn't matter what you fucking call it. You're going to feel better. You know, you're going to feel better. So definitely. Yeah, I personally like slow flow type yin to feel our bodies a little bit more. Personally, I do hot yoga in the mornings and Kundalini yoga. I love that style, but I kind of add everything into my practice.
Yeah. That Kundalini, man, I'll get the energy, especially early in the morning.
Oh yeah.
God damn, man.
Yeah. I do a Qigong practice in the morning lately. The 8 brocades, I think that's what it's called. It's like 20 minutes and I just feel my fucking chi like flowing good. So
yeah, I just did I finished a men's group last week and we did a bunch of Qigong practices. And man, there's nothing like getting your ego just ramped up with all that chi inside you. Just listen to that bad boy just talk shit. I'm like, oh man, you're still there. Oh, fucking hell, man. Have you done a sound bath or any kind of like sound healing events with this type of dialogue going over?
Yeah, I did a sound healing new moon in January. Like, there's the first new moon of the year. And I partnered with one of my friends that has all our sound bowls and everything. And it was amazing. It was amazing. So
I can imagine I'm a sound healer myself. And I'm sitting here on my end like, dude, if I could find somebody that could like beautifully talk shit over like these sound bowls in a most like meditative, but you know, in your beautiful way, like that would just be such a cool thing that, you know, not a lot of people are probably doing out there.
Yeah. Man. And it gets people deep, you know, just throwing a couple of F-bombs at first, shocking their conscious mind a little bit, and then just taking them deep, you know, laughing a little bit.
Oh yeah, man. Yep. Got to break the barriers down.
Break the barriers.
Hell yeah. And you, you said you're an energy worker also.
Yeah, I've studied Reiki. I mean, one of my trainings, I did a vibrational healing training and it had some Reiki in it. So I love Reiki. I love Qigong. I do one of my breathing practices. I found it in a book. It's called, I don't think you can buy it anymore. It's not in publication, but it's a Hypnotism and Mysticism in India. So it's one of well-known hypnotist went to India and he studied some of the yogic magic and practices. And he found that they can control their prana through breathing and through some certain asanas, and they can control their prana. So they could pretty much project what's in their imagination to somebody else. So it's pretty intense. Wow. They use this breathing technique where you take your pulse. So you take your pulse and then with your mouth closed, you breathe in 6 pulse beats, you hold it 3 pulse beats, and you breathe out 6 pulse beats in and out through your nose. Mm. And I found that breathing technique and it's just amazing. I can just feel like my whole body energy.
I've not heard that one, man. I'm definitely going to try that. So pulse, take your pulse, 6. So inhale for 6 pulse, hold for 3, and then exhale for 6.
Yeah, I hadn't heard it either until I read this book and I'm still not finished with it. And it was that. And then it was a chanting technique that gets you the most amazing voice. And I'm like, holy shit. Like I needed all this. And you do the pulse beats and you breathe in and out. And on the exhale, you say these different sounds. They're like, you know, hum or he, and it gets your voice just so pure. And so I do that before I do meditations. And you can just feel your voice solid. So yeah, good book. Recommend it if you can find it.
Hell yeah, man. I'm definitely going to try and find it, man. I love finding those, especially those books that aren't in publication or the hard ones to find. Like there's so much good information in that, man.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. So, you've got a lot of stuff going on right now. We haven't even talked about workshops yet, which I want to get to with all the stuff you're working on with that. But, as you talked about conversational hypnosis and actually dialing down some of your rituals, what are the rituals that you have right now that you really kind of lean on, outside of meditation that aren't going anywhere? Like, these are like the core things that help you feel good about what you're working with, and then you get out into the world and you're feeling
great. Yeah. So walking is a big thing for me. I go on a 30-minute walk in the mornings, and that it just gives me so many ideas. I listened to a TED talk about creativity, and they said the best way, they did all these studies. They said the best way to be creative is to have an idea or like a problem, and then you go for a walk. And then as you're walking does something with both hemispheres of the brain, with the movement, that it sparks your creativity. So a lot of the shit that I've came up with is from walking. You know, like I'll be like, I'm going to do a meditation. I don't know what it's going to be on. I'll go walk, and then I'll get the idea. And they said that when you're walking, you have your phone and you just record your ideas into a voice note. Because as you're walking, you record into the voice note, it's unfiltered because your voice is just saying it out. Because when you write something, you're filtering it through your writing. Whereas when you're walking, you talk and just say like, I want to do this idea. I want to do this idea. So I'll go on a walk 30 minutes in the morning. I'll get all my ideas and then I can listen to them later. And it's crazy because there's times where I forget what I even said into that recorder. And I'm like, holy shit, that was an amazing idea. And then you can filter it from there onto paper. So that's something that I highly recommend. And I started doing the walking thing as Brian Kest is one of my favorite teachers, Brian Kest, Power Yoga. And he said that walking is like one of the best exercises for your body. It's very low impact. It's your heart rate going and doesn't jack up your body and your hips. So I love it. Walking is that for me.
I agree with you, man. Like, walking is one of my favorite things to do. I used to be an avid like headphone walker. And then about 2 years ago, I stopped with the headphones and just tried to, and that kind of coincided with me trying to pay attention to my intuition, doing a lot of intuitive work and trying to, listen to the parts of my body that are speaking, and kind of hard to do that with Run the Jewels in your head.
Yeah. 100%. I feel that. Yeah. I used to do it with headphones as well. And it's like, no, I need to listen. First off, for my safety, like listening what's around me, and then just being in the moment, listening, even though I'm kind of in my head still thinking of ideas. So that's one thing, is walking. Yeah. And then recently it's stand-up comedy, writing jokes. That's been, out of any of my other practices, it's been the most therapeutic for me, because I took a stand-up comedy class in August, and our first assignment was to like write what were our fears, our top three fears, what was our strengths and weaknesses. And you write all this shit down, almost like going to therapy. And then you had to get up in front of like 20 people in the class and talk about what your fears are and what your strengths and weaknesses are. And then some of those are funny. Sometimes people laugh, and how you express it, they laugh. And then those are your jokes. Then you write your premises. Okay. And, in terms of like finding the humor, what are my weaknesses? What's annoying me right now? Like, what's pissing me off? Then I can get humorous with it. You're writing, but you're also like finding ways to like laugh at it. So yeah, comedy's been huge for me.
Yeah, because when we can find our ways to not take ourselves seriously, there's humor in everything. There's so much humor in life. Like the other day I got home from work, and I'm teaching a yoga class. Got home. It was one of the first sunny days in Seattle. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. I turn around. I'm like, oh my God, it's sun's out. And I hear the geese come in. I'm like, oh, there's fucking geese. That's great. And I hear my dog in the background bark, bark, bark. She fucking hates it. Our house is a no-fly zone. And so I turn around. I'm looking. Here come the geese. And all that flying V of geese shit all over me and my truck. Just shit. I mouth open, too. Oh, look at the sun. And ka, 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 ka. Just pelted me. And I could be pissed off, but man, I turned around. I hoped somebody saw that. I was like, man, I hope somebody saw me just get shit on by a whole flock of geese shower. And got some enjoyment out of that, because, right, exactly, man. And my girlfriend didn't believe me, and I took her out afterwards, and I'm like, there's the human outline of my body, and then there's goose shit all around it. Like, they got me good.
It's like a dive bombing shit. You got shit bombed. Yeah. That's a thing, like making fun of yourself is so therapeutic. I know, like, you know, positive affirmations, but like going up and just kind of shitting on yourself is so therapeutic for me, you know? It's like,
yeah,
kind of breaks down the ego.
Hell yeah. And that's, I mean, no matter how much work we do, that ego's mm-hmm. still there. It's still got a part in us, you know, and we got to keep that guy in check. Gotta make sure he knows exactly. where he stands. So you've got a ton of stuff coming up, man. You've got like a 5-week meditation workshop. You've got full moon rising workshop and workshops where you're teaching people how to meditate or teaching teachers how to teach people. You've got, I mean, those walks must be kicking your ass, man. You're doing some good shit. You got a lot of good ideas coming out,
man. It's really, you know, just putting it out there. I finished up a 5-week meditation teacher workshop in March, beginning of March. So finished up 5 weeks and it was amazing to see the transformations with the students, you know, starting their journey. And then, you know, seeing them after their 5 weeks, just how much change and growth. So I love that. Then my next one is starting next week, next Tuesday, April 5th. Hmm. So I can't wait for that. And yeah, new or full moon coming up also. So yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting.
Hell yeah. Was the full moon that you're doing now, was that inspired by that first full moon meditation that you did a while back in the early part of your meditation?
The new moon meditation that I did in my yoga teacher training, at the time I hadn't been meditating, and this was an hour long meditation. So went into it. It looked cool. The flyer looked cool. And I was deep in that meditation. I met my higher self, my future self. I got wisdom from my future self. Like I was there out of body experience. So I like to share that with new moon and full moon. So like this full moon is basically going to release some fucks, just inner child going back to your childhood and fixing some stuff there and using that full moon as a spotlight to see what is working well for you and then what's not working well for you. You know, what's outside of your awareness is outside of your control. So, and that's really powerful that hit me. My teacher told me that is like, beautiful. What's outside of your awareness is outside of your control. It controls you. If you're not aware of it, it controls you. And meditation, journaling, hypnosis, you find out that awareness, like what's really wrong here? What's really causing this shit? So yeah, that's the full moon meditation coming up, full moon ritual.
Yeah, because there's a lot of times where we might think we understand what the annoyance is or that trigger is, but until we actually sit with it and really understand it, like a lot of times I thought everybody else was the trigger, you know, until I realized the consistent, you know, the constant was me. It's like, oh shit, I'm my own trigger.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we don't realize that until we're able to quiet ourselves enough to ask those questions or to have that teacher to really like bounce that stuff back to us and say, hey, man, this is how you're showing up. Is this how you want to conduct yourself in this world? Okay. Where do you want to start? Start chipping
Absolutely.
Away at this shit.
Absolutely. Those questions.
Oh, yeah.
Questioning.
Right. Yes. That's, you know, it's so funny when you were saying that, it made me remember I had an old boss, my first mentor that, he never gave me advice, but I always thought he was the smartest guy. And I didn't realize until maybe 5 years in our relationship that all he did was ask questions.
So he knew
never
it.
Told me what to do. He never said, Adam, do this, Adam, do that. It was like, what do you think about this? How would that make you feel? What would you do if that happened? I'm like, oh, well, this, that's that. And I'm like, oh, Jeff, you're the smartest guy ever. Thanks for all the advice. I'm like, fuck, man. I've been doing it all myself.
100%. Yeah. And it's like, and practice that. Like we all need to practice that with other people, just asking, and when you're in a conversation, just asking the question, you know,
yeah.
Like, how do you feel about this?
There's a right. It's active listening, right? When you're actively listening to the person next to you or across from you, you're giving them your full attention and you could be a part of their healing process and not just think that what you have to say next is so important. I think that's a lot of our conversation right now is we're so used to being cut off or not heard that we want to get our words in and we want to get our point made. So we're willing to not listen to the person across from us or even cut them off in the middle of their statement just to get our input in there and get that interjection in there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so nice to be able to hold that space with somebody and just to have that, you know, just reciprocal conversation, just going back and forth, you know, and you hear what they have to say, they hear what you, and then it's almost like that's the healing in general. right? The healing is just, it manifests itself automatically in front of us. There's no trying. You know, it happens by not trying.
Happens by not trying.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching some of the, I forgot which gurus they were, which like teachers they were, and they just asked the student questions, even when they're speaking. I remember, I wish I remembered his name, but he said something. It was like an old lecture, you know, and he said, like, what's your motive when you're meditating? Like, what's your motive? Mm. And that question right there, I ask myself that a lot. It's like, what's my motive on this meditation this morning? Like, am I just checking it off? Like, which sometimes that is, or am I just making sure I keep my meditation practice so I can teach others, you know, to meditate? Or like, am I trying to get, because early on I had like 200 days consecutively when I started my meditation journey, you know, I hit 90 days and I just kept, I wanted to go as long as I could. And then I heard him say that, well, what's your motive? It's like, well, my motive was to get all these consecutive days so I can be like, I have all these consecutive days and post it on social media. Like, I'm fucking awesome because I meditated 600 days in a row. So then I like blatantly stopped. Like, it was painful, but I didn't meditate for a day to break my streak, to kind of break my ego, to just be like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I don't need to meditate for 300 days or this much. Like, what's my motive? You know? So it's like, in anything, it's like, what's your motive in yoga? Like, and being like truthful and honest, like, what is really your fucking motive on posting the social media thing? You know? So that's a good question.
Yeah. No, it is. It really is, man. I fell in that same trap with the Insight Timer when I first started meditating using that. It was the consistency. It's like, I didn't want to stop because I didn't want to break that streak. And it's like, I had like 380 days and it was 400 days and 500. I'm like, I'm going. And then for whatever reason, one day I didn't do it. And it wasn't intentional like you did, but it was that next morning where I think I was traveling or something. I just didn't have time. And that next morning I woke up and I sat down. I hadn't even realized. And I'm like, a ping in my heart was like, holy shit, you didn't meditate yesterday. You lost your traction. And then it's like, no, you have not. You didn't do anything wrong. Like, if anything, good for you for not carving space out yesterday when you didn't have that time. You're here now. You didn't break any records. You're not breaking your track record that you have with this. So just sit down and listen to your breath. Release some fucks, man. Let's be here in this moment, you know?
Absolutely. And it's good to take a break. Yeah. You know, I've taken like a week off meditating, just, you know, a few days off. And it's good. Like, do something else for a little bit. And then you come back to your meditation practice just fresh, you know? So I feel you on that.
We need to get that break sometimes. So, yes. Do you have what else do you have going on in your next steps of life? I know we talked about, you got workshops coming up. But what's like the next big thing that maybe people don't know what you're working on?
Yeah, I'm working on, I want to headline my own stand-up comedy special or you know, just like at a local club here. I've done with my class, we did a show, just all of us together, you know, we were like 10 of us. But yeah, that's been my thing. Every Thursday, I'm going to go do open mics, which is it's one of the toughest things I've do. You got to write jokes and you got to go up and deliver them. And that's what I'm working on right now. I just want to keep writing jokes, get up there and then get my own, just do a show. It'd be fun.
Hell yeah, man. And I've caught a couple of I've seen a couple of your comedies on your YouTube channel. Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate what you're doing, man. Hell yeah.
You gotta have fun out there. Yeah. And if anybody's listening, go take an improv class, do a stand-up comedy class and get out of your comfort zone. Just do it.
Hell yeah, man. Do something that scares
absolutely.
You. You know, that's what's up. Hell yeah, brother. Well, man, if I can be of any help on your journey at all, man, please let me know. I love what you're doing, and the people that I've introduced them to you love what you're doing as well. From the yoga studio owners to the, you know, just the person meditating on their blanket, you know, people are really being touched by what you're doing and really opening them up to maybe an idea that they didn't think was tangible for them. And into an approach that is, you know, a very, very, very approachable, actually, you know, just for a lot of us, you know, because, you know, for me, my, I had a really checkered past, you know, a lot of drug and alcohol usage and, you know, in and out of jail, shit like that when I was a younger kid. But, you know, and it almost felt like spirituality was just like not a thing I could even grasp. It wasn't even a thing I could approach. Like, I'd already fucked up too much. I couldn't even get there, seeing all these people in robes and all this stuff. I knew religion wasn't for me, but, you know, eventually I found my way into spirituality. But, you know, having you as that catalyst now for a lot of that demographic that doesn't know that that's an option, you know, to find somebody to release the fucks. It's like, dude, I've got so many fucks to release. Like, fucking hell, man. Finally, there's a guy with fucking tattoos and a badass fucking hat that's going to help me release all these fucks in my life, you know? And that's it. You're approachable. You're a real human being. And not to say anybody else is not, but you're embracing the humanness that you are with the gifts that you got, the flaws that you got, the just a badass personality that you are. And that's the package, man. That's your humanness. You know, we can show up in that authentic way. If more of us can show up with that, just that beauty that we have, unabashed, here I am, I'm fucking doing this shit, man. You know, I'd just love to see what the rest of the world can kind of embrace from your the example
you
said, man.
Thank you. And that's really, I want to be as human as possible. Like, I really do. You know, you see some of these, I don't know, you know, some of these like guru type, like they're like gods almost. It's like they still shit, they still want to fuck, they still got their like humanness, mm-hmm. you know. And that's what I want to embrace too. It's like, look, I am still human. I like to cuss, and we're all just trying to figure this shit out, you know.
Damn straight. I think one of my favorite quotes from Ram Dass is you're a fucking human, learn the curriculum. Right? Be a goddamn human. You know, we're here in this meat suit and this goddamn spinning rock going 10,000 miles an hour, fucking in the middle of goddamn space. Let's have some fun while we're doing it, man. Embrace your humanity. Embrace that cool shit that you're doing and fucking figure
Absolutely.
It out.
Absolutely. What are you working on lately?
Hell yeah, brother. I've been trying to compartmentalize my stuff. I started my own business recently, and my eyes were very wide for all the things I wanted to do. And so for me, I've been working on trying to whittle that down into the things that are tangible. So a lot of sound baths, a lot of Reiki and, you know, energy work like that. And those are all like the income stuff, but this, like this podcast, the creative side that I have, that's where this starts to come out. You know, I've got this podcast that I work on, and I've got another one called Zen and Not Zen. And it's more of like stoner humor, like point counterpoint, you know, from, my buddy is a pessimistic ginger and I'm more the optimistic spiritual guy. And so it's kind of nice just to have these subjects and say, okay, like, how are we going to approach this, you know? And, you know, so it's been really nice to really focus on getting out of what I used to call corporate Adam. I was a corporate guy for a long time. So getting out of corporate Adam and really exploring what makes me tick as a human being, you know, kind of like what you're doing right now, you know, just shedding all the expectations of what was and just really finding out who I am as a human and how I want to show up as a father, as a friend, as a host, as a Reiki practitioner, as just the person that I am. You know, so my last name is Real, you know, and so I'm trying to be the realest person that I can. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to show up in that realness and just, you know, not enough, you know, not to say that, you know, one is better than the other, but, you know, when we can finally understand that what we are is exactly enough and it's perfect the way it is, there doesn't need to be anything added, subtracted, you know, none of that shit. You're a perfect person just the way you are. Your flaws, you're good, you're bad, you're indifferent. You know, that's what we can embrace as a package and send that forward. And if everybody can do that in their own way, then maybe we can stop judging each other.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not judging myself, then I know I'm not judging you. Because if I can accept me and love me for how I am, then there's no reason I can't love you, because I know all the shit that I've done. I know all the good, the bad shit that I've done and all the weird shit that I think about. And if I can accept me for that and move forward as a beautiful human, then there you go, man.
Amen. Amen. Hell yeah, so brother. When you say compartmentalize, like, what does that mean?
So I think I had too many irons in the fire. Like, I was trying to do too much. Like, I, like you were saying, the creativity side, my creativity side during COVID just went bonkers. I went from working 80 hours a week to having my own time and having days off and all this stuff. So, was able to like work through a lot of lists that I had of shit that I never had time for, you know. With that, it was YouTube channels and podcasts and all this stuff. And I realized that that's all fun, but I don't have that much time. right? And so if I need to, you know, stabilize my income and have some bills, you know, being paid so I can be creative, you know, what does that look like? So my, you know, my income went from, say 10 different things to now 5 things, right? So I focus on those 5 things, build those 5 things, teaching yoga, doing Reiki, doing sound baths, private yoga, and, you know, something else. So focus on those 5 things, grow those. And then once I feel stable with that, then start to add it in. But what I was finding is I was stretched too thin. And, you know, that whole idea of working for yourself, being your own boss, I was holding myself too accountable for shit. I was an asshole of a boss. So I had to kind of back down a little bit, understand that not everything needs to get done today. Mm-hmm. You know, I have years and years ahead of me to manifest this stuff. Take some time, work on these 5 things, get those exactly where you need them, or the best you can, you know, get to where you're proud of, and then start to add something else. You know, I'll add something else in. All right. So I'll go do a training. I actually would love to do your meditation training one day, you know, so like add that stuff in. Okay, cool. So I got that now, stabilize that, you know, that falls off, and then I can add something else in. You know, men's work was one of the things that recently I did a 6-week men's course with a couple gentlemen, 8 gentlemen. And that was a 6-week course. And so like every Wednesday from, you know, 7 to 9, we meet on Zoom, we talk about our shit. And then that was beautiful. But now those Wednesdays are free to me. So I'm like, okay, cool. So now I have that little chunk that I can put something else in if I need to, but I can also just sit on the couch and.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Too. Yeah. So I got to try to play that balance with myself of not just adding in shit just to feel busy and feel that check mark. Okay, I'm busy. Cool. That means I'm successful because I'm busy and I don't have time. I don't want to do that. I don't want to lament about the time that I don't have, so I don't have time to go see my kid's choir concert or go hang out with my girlfriend. You know, I want to just have that freedom of like, I can do this if I want to, but I can also not do that and just go do this cool thing that'll satisfy my soul.
Right. Satisfies your soul. And which one out of the 5 things, which one brings you the most joy?
Damn, that's a good question. I'd say sound healing right now. Sound healing. That's, you know, I've been a musician in my own right. Never anything more than just, you know, picking and grinning, like my dad used to say. But, you know, I've always had like this musical inclination. I can figure shit out pretty easily. I got a good ear for that stuff. And about 3 years ago, I've been proxied to sound baths for a long time. One of my good friends used to do the sound baths in this area. And he moved down to Arizona. Actually, he's in your area now. And that kind of opened a void up in this area for those sound baths. And so I, you know, got some bowls and started practicing with those on my own and have really found that it's almost like it's like this story is manifesting, you know, in the way that the bowls want to play. And I don't say I play the bowls. It's the way they want to be played. You know, it's a lot of the cool thing with sound healing is you got to kind of throw away your musical theory. Like if you understand music, then you're kind of screwed because sound healing isn't always the things that sound pretty. You know, you kind of got to shake some shit up sometimes. And so like having to throw a lot of that out the window was beautiful and really hard for me. And then just to let the bowls play themselves and let all the instruments start to accompany it, that as they go. And seeing that story write itself, you know, I'm just back there and all of a sudden I've got like, you know, a friend of mine calls me my Krishna hands because all of a sudden it's like I've got 8 arms coming out from behind me and it's like all these things are going, there's chimes and there's all this shit, you know, and then so that story kind of manifests itself. And then afterwards, you know, I'm kind of in a daze. I don't really know what's going on while it's happening. I'm like, you know, Neil Peart back there just sweating my ass off for Rush. And then, you know, but I have all these people just sit up afterwards in these beautiful dazes and they just like, explain like how beautiful the process was and the feelings. And that bell that you hit reminded me of my jewelry box when I was a child. And that was the only safe thing that I ever had. And that made me cry and release this thing. And I hugged my inner child. And it's like, dude, I'm just up here banging on some shit, man. I'm so happy you had that experience because that was exactly what I hoped for, but never expect, you know? And so to have that on that mass scale, you know, it's great to have individuals, you know, I love working on with people individually, but when you get that group of 30 to 50 people that are healing together in that safe container and they feel safe and they're vulnerable and they're just ready to release and to just be something different, you know, find that peace inside of them. It's so beautiful to hold the space for that. into any part I can be of that is beautiful. Whether I'm just the person handing chocolates out at the end, right by your head, you know, getting all the credit for that, or, you know, the person that's just clanging on all the instruments. It's just, it's a beautiful experience, man.
Beautiful experience. Yeah. It sounds like it. And that's what you like about it. Is that explaining it right there? Like the end when they're feeling healed and.
There's a big, that's the external, I think the external, satisfaction that I have is knowing that, that I was gifted with something that I can share and that share is impacting people in a way. My internal satisfaction comes from, I think finally finding intuitive creative outlet for myself.
Intuitive creative outlet.
You know, it's not like I have to like look at sheet music and play a guitar, or I have to like play this chord over here on this piano. I can just literally like, I have like probably 50 or 60 different like percussive instruments and bowls and all this stuff. And it's like, close my eyes. What do I grab? Okay. I just grab this, you know, this awesome rattle. I'm just going to clack this for the next 5 minutes and see what that does.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing inside me. Like I don't, yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't have a set list, you know, I'm going to go in there and it's like, okay, I'm going to play this bowl and that bowl. Then I'm going to clang that. And then I'm going to, you know, shake that rattle. And then I'm gonna come back for this bowl. It's just like, all right, intuition. Like, where do you want this right hand to go? Cool. We just grab that, make some fucking noise. We'll see what happens, you know? And I just, I'm excited to see where this takes me because I'm surrounded by musicians and musicians that aren't sound healers, you know? So when I get these cool musicians that are just like shredding guitarists or like badass drummers and shit that hear what I'm doing, then their creative mind starts to go and they're like, dude, you should get a Line 6 and you could loop that synth sound and you could have those undertones carrying it while you're doing this other chanting stuff. And then you could loop the chant. And I'm like, fuck, man. Yes. That's what I'm talking about, man. So like, I love that. There's so much creativity and, you know, even though sound healing has been around for fucking thousands of years, you know, there's so much now, this new technology now that could help write that story in a different way. You know, with those looping patterns and with, you know, multiple instruments and multiple practitioners and just, I don't know. And that's where I have to start containing shit.
Where do you want it to take
you? Because that idea starts to get so big.
Where do you want it to take you?
I'm thinking, so I had a vision after my very first sound bath, and it was probably like a 6-practitioner sound bath, and everybody had their own thing, like had a big gong section, a sound bowl section, a percussive section, you know, like everybody had like flutes and shit, you know, everybody had their things. And it was just this orchestrated story that just kind of manifested itself, and it lasted for probably 2 hours. And every practitioner had its own place, and it was all intuitive, like gongs playing with chimes and all these things happening together. And that was basically, was like, I came out of that meditation like, oh shit, man, I've got fucking work to do because I'm nowhere near that point yet, you know? So I think in a way I'm being drawn towards this this big sound event. But at the same time, like, I don't want the word big to mean expensive. Like, I want, like, healing should be approachable for everybody. You know, healing should not be a commodity, right? You know, I know a lot of us right now, a lot of times, like, we don't have the time to put towards our personal self because we're worried about like going from job to job to job. We have X amount of kids or whatever responsibilities to take care of that we can't seem like we find time for ourselves. So a lot of times healing is a luxury for a lot of people. So I don't want, you know, that grandness of my idea to cost and break anybody's bank, you know? So I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, it's taken me a little while to understand what this vision looks like. Because we want to make sure that everybody's it's approachable.
Yeah, right? It's approachable. How much would you pay to be healed from something? If you knew that say a problem that was very difficult that you've been going through for 10 years, how much would you pay to have that released?
Man, that's a good question. That's a double-edged sword with me. Like my initial response was anything. And then I thought about it even more and I'm like, well, how the fuck do I know it'd work? You know, what would I pay anything for it? You know, but I think where I'm at now, knowing the work that I'm doing and what I'm working on, the price wouldn't be a concern to me, you know? And I don't want that to sound like I can afford anything, like, fuck it, who cares? I think it's more of the understanding that if I found myself willing to pay that price for something that I felt was going to be beneficial to me, then my intuition would back that and understand that that was something that I would, that mm-hmm. I would benefit from. But the pricing, that's a good question, man, because yeah, there's some very expensive healers out there that probably won't really fulfill that desire if you have it, you know, because a lot of times it's up to you for the healing. You know, I tell people all the time, my clients, I'm like, I'm not waving a magic wand and I'm not going to, like, you know, Spectro Patronus your ass to fucking healing. Mm-hmm. You know, this is you, you're doing the work. I'm just holding the space. Yeah. Like, I'll create the container. I'll keep you safe. I'll do some chants. I'll provide the energy, but man, all that work's you. Like, I can't do your work for you. I can't pick your shit up. I can't move your shit. I can't mm-hmm. plow your field. Like, that's all you, you know? So I think that's a hard one for a lot of people too, because they expect, you know, a lot of times we expect in this world now that we live in instant gratification. You know, if I do a thing, I'm gonna see the results from that thing right away. And a lot of what I see with clients right now is, you know, if you've been on a Western style medicine diet, you know, more or less for the past X amount of years, and then you just happenstance try a holistic approach, it might take a little while for that holistic approach to take, because you're battling all this chemical that your body's built up from this Western style medicine or diet that you've had, you know. So you've got to give yourself that time to really embrace the new practice that you're moving towards and get that idea of that instant gratification out of your head, because it's not always like, I did a thing, here's my success, I'm fucking mm-hmm. moving on. You might never see that. It might just always be a hope that ED will end at the word heal, you know, and you'll find that origin point of whatever trauma and you'll get to it. But a lot of times, like, fuck, man, I put that idea out of the head and just understand that it's the journey through that that's going to be mm-hmm. the healing, and it's not the actual end result that's like, cool, yeah, checkbox, healed, done, next mm-hmm. next step. Yeah. But that's it, man. That's a good question. What about you, man? What would you, if there was a price on a thing that you could say, all right, I'm going to do it, I know this is going to work, you know, is there a price?
Yeah, I mean, it depends that's a good question. You know, it depends on the problem that the person has, right? Like, for example, if someone smokes cigarettes, right? How long is their problem mm-hmm. going on? Have they been smoking for 10 years and maybe sound healing would help, or hypnosis or something like that? Well, it's like, you've been smoking for 10 years, and if you continue on with this problem, like, how much more money is it going to cost you? Is it going to cost you another $100,000? You're going to have a heart attack and then cost you a couple $100,000. Like, how much is this going to cost you? And I might have a solution for you in 5 sessions or 3 sessions. And, you know, the solution's this much money. So it just really depends on the person's problem. And in terms of, like, yoga or meditation or just anything, we're all just problem solvers for people. We're just solving their mm-hmm. problem, whether it's, you know, you want to be a meditation teacher to help other people, or meditation or yoga. Like, why are you doing it? What problem can I solve? So that just really depends on what your price is, you know? Like for like sound healing, say if you go to, you know, a party, if you're doing a party and, like, you're if you're just competing with price and you're $100 sound healer, and then there's $1,000 sound healer, who just a perception, like, who do you feel like is going to be the better sound healer and bring their shit? The person that's charging $1,000. Right. And I'm not just saying this like capitalism or anything like that. That's just like the psychology. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'd be like, oh shit, I want the $1,000 sound healer. Like, they must be doing some shit. You know, they're going to be doing some extra stuff. And in terms of, like, value, it's like, I'm going to feel better. I mean, they did it on studies of, like, wine, you know, they charged, like, this wine that they're the same wines, and one wine was, like, way more uh-huh. expensive than this other one. And people thought the more expensive wine tasted better, and they're the same fucking thing. So it's just psychology, but I don't know the answer. Really, I don't know the answer to it. It's just really, you know, how can you help somebody? And sometimes it is by price. Like, you can help somebody by price alone, because mm-hmm. maybe they, you know, my teacher said, when you do trainings, it should feel a little uncomfortable paying the price. You know, because if it feels uncomfortable, then most likely you're going to actually do the fucking work. and get through it and do the right. change. I mean, I've spent a couple hundred dollars on like trainings and I never completed them. Like it just wasn't, I don't know. That's just me. But like when I went to his trainings, like they were like 1500, I fucking listened. I was in my chair and I did the work and I made sure I got all my money out of it. So
there you go.
So
you felt
yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, I've been there in terms of, you know, like we're healers or whatever, like we're yoga teachers. I've done a lot of free shit myself. And it's like, no, man, I'm breaking my fucking body down. And like, I've spent money on my trainings. You spent money on your equipment. I've spent all this fucking money. Like this is what I'm worth, you know, this is what I'm worth from my own energy. So that's just something that I've learned, but yeah,
I feel that, man. That's a hard one for a lot of us too, is that knowing your worth and being able to stand up for it and say, this is my price. This is what I know I'm worth. And this is what I'm asking for. And that's a hard one, man. For a lot of us, I remember when I first started doing Reiki, I did a few free sessions, you know, just get practice on that. But, you know, I had some people reach out to me that wanted my services, but were reluctant about my inexperience at that time. So I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, come on in. You know, I'll do the first one free. No problem. Come on in. We'll book your session. And I can tell you, like, probably half of those people never showed up for their first sessions, even after they booked, because they weren't committed. You know, they didn't pay something. They didn't have some kind of trade. They didn't have something invested in it to know that it was worth their time. And so that's a really great point. I'm
no, like my minimum to work with people for like hypnosis is $1,500. That's my minimum. I used to do $100 a session, and now like with all the training that I've done, and like it's a results. It's a problem based thing. I don't have like certain sessions. Like I stay with them until they feel that they're better. It could be 100 sessions, 10 sessions, 1 30-minute session. But it's like, it's just a change based approach. So it's really, you know, yeah, it's like, what problem can I help people out with? You know, especially like anybody listening, if this is still recording, you know, anybody out there, whatever you're doing, you're solving somebody else's problem, whether it's yoga, stretching, sound healing, therapy, you have a solution to their problem. They're coming to you for a solution to their problem. You know, so how can you help them? How can you really help them solve their problem? And that's all they want. They don't know. They don't give a fuck like how you get there. That's something that I had to learn with just like my training that I've done. You know, it's like people don't give a fuck like that I'm a hypnotist or NLP. I have to convince them what that shit is. Like, let's just have you know, it took me years to figure what that is. The average person's not going to know any of that shit. They're sad, they're unhappy, or they're like dealing with a breakup. They just want to feel better. You know, like people come into like sound healing, they want to feel something. Like what do they want to feel? Like what problem are you solving? And then you help them release your fucks. Yeah. You know?
There it is, man. I thank you for that, man. That's again, like I said, that's something I really struggle with, is knowing my worth and really owning up to that. And I appreciate that approach that you just had. You know, like we put a lot of time into this. We put a lot of effort into this. You know, there's a lot of trainings that go into it. There's a lot of heart that goes into this stuff. And, you know, it's nice to have that reciprocated and know that, you know, as much as you're helping somebody, you're also being helped. You know, you're providing a service for somebody, and that's going to help you pay your bills so you can continue to provide that service for others. You know, and if we keep shortchanging ourselves, then we're going to burn ourselves out, you know, as healers. And then we might even actually leave the profession without actually continuing on and continuing that help. You know, so knowing your worth and being able to stand up for it and have that warrior come up, that warrior archetype, and say, hey, man, I understand, but this is my price. And if you can't do it, I understand that too. There's other options that you can see other people, right? But knowing and standing firm in your ground, and that's that confidence that you need to build as a human being so that you know what you're doing is valuable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we've all gone, you said you've gone through some struggles and, you know, some addictions and things like that. Like no matter what other certifications you get, you have all your experience already. Like you've already accomplished, like you're here, like you got through the dark times, transformed into what you're doing to help people sound healing. So like all that experience before, like that is valuable. You know, that's not given away for fucking free. That's at all.
Right.
You know, and I had to learn that, you know, I had to learn that through resentments, having resentments to giving my energy and not having it reciprocated or not having it go as I thought, you know, with like doing certain events or things like that, where I was just like, I'm going to do this for the experience or I'm going to do it for that. Because in our industry, everybody that's listening, there's people that will take advantage of how nice you are, of how generous you are, and very quick to shame. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you're fucking charging for healing. I can't believe like you're that much. And I'm not saying that you're that much or anything like that, but I just can't believe it. Well, it's like, no, this is my boundary. This is what I will agree to do it by. And if they say no, that's okay. You know, that's
right.
Fucking okay. No matter what shit they say to you, it's like, you know, I'm doing this like for a reason, you know, this is what I'm really worth. And I see that a lot. I see that a lot with like a lot of yoga teachers and healers, is they get stuck in this thing where I don't want to charge. I feel bad about charging. I feel bad because it's a spiritual practice or it's this and I'm just healing. It's like, I go to a doctor and I fucking want to pay him good money so my body's okay. Like he's healing me. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're okay to like go pay like a doctor or somebody like to, but it's like, oh, when we're doing this work, it's like, I don't know if I want to get paid. So I could go on for days on that.
No, I feel you, man. I feel you. And I think the more awareness we can bring to that subject, I think the stronger the healing community can be, you know, because I do know a lot of people that don't want to get into this profession because they don't see it being a financial stability for them. And I get that. I understand that. But, you know, there's even like yoga teaching, you know, if we could find a way to compensate yoga teachers in a better, more fair way, you know, maybe based off class sizes, occupancy, experience levels, whatever it is, you know, we might be able to pull more people into these healing modalities and expand the idea of what that healing can be. And not to say that we need to make it a profession and standardize like rates and all that shit. But you know, if we found the ability to own our gifts and know the worth that we put into it and feel the confidence of that and have that reciprocated, this field might be growing, you know, might grow. And there could be some beautiful leaps and bounds that happen to it with the
mindset. Absolutely. And it's really like, no matter what price you charge, like be okay with charging, be okay with getting something from your service, whether it's, you know, you're bartering or whether it's, you know, you want to do this event for free, but you're going to get pictures out of it and be able to post on social media, no matter what it is, like what your price is, like be okay with what your price is. Like, you know, get past like the shame or the feeling that I shouldn't charge for this or that I should give this for free. Yeah, I do see a lot of like teachers like having resentments or getting burned out, you know, because they want to get like name recognition. So they do like a free event. And it's like they're getting just taken advantage of. Like this event company is like making the money and they're just like getting new yoga teachers or whatnot to like do a free class. And it's like, we all as like collective, like need to speak up for like what we're worth, you know, no matter what that is, if it's just getting pictures or getting like a free meal afterwards, like, I would say like, don't do it for free unless like, unless the free thing is for like charity to like really donate your time and you're 100% okay with it. You know, like, hey, I'm going to this hospital to give my service and this is what I'm getting from it is giving, you know, like, does that make sense?
I do. Yep. Most definitely. There's one of the corporate yoga companies that are out now. I won't say the name, but part of their teacher training is, you know, and it's pretty standard teacher training price. You know, I think it's like $3,500 for a 200-hour teacher training. But with that, the culmination of your teacher training, you're required to teach 20 to 30 free classes for that studio to, again, gain your experience. So not only are you paying $3,500 for your 200-hour teacher training, but then you're going to give them 20 to 30 free classes, which, you know, average teachers make what, 30 to 50, 75 bucks, somewhere in there. So now that's free payroll for that studio to get those classes to be taught. you're not getting any, you're getting the experience, but you're not getting paid for that shit. You know, there's so much in, there's so much indifference with that, man. It's like, you know, here's all my money. And then here's all my free time.
Yeah. That's like 30 hours. And really like when, and everybody listen to this, like, what is your hour of time worth? Like that's like the one thing. And I have to remind myself is like, time is like the number one resource. Like you can't get it back. You can get more money back. Mm-hmm. You lose money, you can get it back. Like pretty much anything else you can get back. But like your time, you're not going to get your fucking time back. So it's like, how am I going to use my time? Like, am I just going to, your time is precious and valuable. Don't burn yourself out, everybody out there. Like charge for it. Your time is valuable. Your life experience, what you've done to get here, is valuable. Mm. Speak up.
Damn.
I really like, I'm very passionate about that just because it's a frustrating thing to me because I've been through it myself. And I see a lot of like new teachers feeling that way too. It's like, oh, they want to get experience. They want to do all this and then get taken advantage of by like, you know, you have to do 30 classes. I just paid you $3,500. Now I'm going to give you 30 hours of my time unpaid. Mm. Shit.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, things like that just drive people away. It's like, well, shit, how am I going to make my money back and make this a viable career for myself? Yeah. Oh, man. Well, dude, if you need another platform to talk about your frustrations, brother.
No, that's good. I'm glad you brought it up. I just love, I love helping people out there, you know, and I really hope this conversation helps people out there. Being able to just like get past the resentment and just speaking up for what you're worth, no matter what it is, no matter what that number is.
Damn straight. You're a human being that has a lot of worth. You're a talented person. Get out there and find your worth and own it.
Be okay to say no. You know, if like, hey, you need to do 30 classes. Fuck no. Pay me.
Yeah.
Pay me. Yeah, exactly. You know, because that's the collective thing. It's like people are agreeing to this shit. Oh, okay. I'll do $3,500. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Like I'm pretty sure like 9 out of 10 of those people fucking hate it. You know, they want to get paid. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. You got to pay your rent. You got to pay all this shit. Like 9 out of 10 of those people probably are like, I wish we were getting paid on my 10th class and I got 30 more to go. So yeah, say fucking no, we want to get paid.
Damn straight, man. Fucking own your worth. Yes. God damn it.
Yes.
brother. Well, thank you so much for this talk, man. I'm deeply grateful for you, man. So for all our listeners out there, whether you want conventional, relax with Yogi Brian, or it's just fucking meditation with Yogi Brian, either way, you're going to release some fucks. You're going to have a good time. Brian, dude, I'm so honored to talk to you. And, I'd love to have you back on down the road. If there's something else that pops up, you want to talk about. But man, I make my way down to Arizona every once in a while. So I'll try to look you up next time I'm down that area.
Yeah. We'll go for lunch or something.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother. Best of luck to you in all years, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending time with Yogi Brian and I. Please like or subscribe to the podcast if you like what we're doing. Share it if you know somebody that it'll touch. Thank you so much for all your love and support. We'll see you next time. Obeisance and love.